Next on BYUSN, the transfer portal door shut for now in college basketball. Who's locked in for BYU men's hoops? And do the Cougars still need to add a piece to the roster? Then there's this brain buster. Which team is more likely to win a Big 12 title next season? BYU football or BYU men's basketball? Synchronize blue goggles, people.
Ants Olsen joins us to preview the Cougars getting ready for the NFL draft. Does he think Caleb Etienne and Tyler Batty will both be drafted? And running back Pokai Hong breaks down how the running backs improved over spring practices and his mindset going into next year.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Wednesday, April 23rd. I am Spencer Linton. He is Marriott Center historian Jerem Jordan.
Okay, so remember the 50-year anniversary a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Justin Reeves, or at Justin Freeves, tweeted, posted on X, whatever, found a picture my dad took of Thurl Bailey and Larry Bird playing in a game at the Marriott Center in the 80s. I remember being there at 6 to 7-ish years old, but I didn't realize the significance. So this is from October 1987. This is an exhibition game between the Jazz and the Celtics, who featured not one, not two, but three Cougars in Danny Ainge, Greg Kite, and Fred Roberts.
Incredible.
Then the next year, Magic Johnson and the Lakers played in the Marriott Center. But I did talk to Val Hale, the former athletic director, this morning, who's doing well with his health, by the way, kind of quarantined post-surgery. Yesterday was Liberation Day, as he said it. So congrats to Val.
Love Val.
He said, I'll probably be out with a mask on today. He said that Alex Jensen's father-in-law was actually the promoter, Rich Hill. And BYU fans would buy tickets for about 10 bucks, but they charged kind of NBA prices, 30 or 40. And while it was pretty full, it wasn't like maxed out, which makes me weirded out because Larry Bird and Magic Johnson played in the Marriott Center, but it wasn't like filled to the brim. Can you imagine now if there was an NBA game in the Marriott Center?
LeBron James and Luka Doncic and the Lakers taking on whoever in the Marriott Center?
Oh, the tickets are too expensive. What? It's like a Broadway play. That's the principle I use on this. It's a Broadway play. What would I pay for a Broadway play? I'd pay that for whatever. Everyone's different.
But listen,
but
fun
Larry
fact,
Bird and Magic Johnson were in the Marriott Center in 87 and 88.
It actually cost BYU basketball fans more money to watch BYU hoops in the Marriott Center than it did to watch LeBron James and the Lakers in the Delta Center in Salt Lake City.
And frankly, it was a better product.
No argument there.
Yeah, hopefully Cooper Flagg will be in a Jazz uni next year.
Some great people have performed in their respective crafts in the Marriott Center.
Yes, they have.
Are you kidding me? Journey? Got to throw in the Osmonds too, right?
Was Kenny Loggins in there, I think, at some point? Yeah.
We need more of this. I love it. If you have random stuff like this.
The rock concerts ain't happening
Send out the pictures.
Obvious reason.
We love the history.
That's great.
Yes.
That's awesome, man.
All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
It shows that what Kevin Young and his staff set out to do in year one worked. There is a proof of concept that everything that Coach Young talked about, he has accomplished that and shown to everybody else what's possible.
What's Trending, presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Hey, Larry Legend can appreciate a good championship run. Yep. BYU basketball and football got close, but were not able to climb the mountain. And that said, we'll get to that in a moment. I mean, just huge questions on today's show, Jerem. We'll start with the transfer portal. It officially closed yesterday in college basketball as BYU tries to take that championship step.
And some clarity on that. You can enter, but you can exit at any time.
Correct.
It's just getting
you have
in.
To be in it.
Yes.
By yesterday.
Yeah.
So if you missed it, you missed it. But you can once you're in, you're in.
You're in.
Yesterday, BYU's Brody Kozlowski posted on social media that he is re-upping and running it back for BYU.
Baby.
Let's go,
he's
Brody.
Back, baby.
Back on that roster. More core players.
We need to see him.
So along with Brody, why don't we just take a look at who BYU officially has coming back for the 2025-2026 men's basketball season. And we will discuss how we feel about it as we show it to you. The returning players thus far, Kaba Keita. Huge announcement when he said that he was officially coming back. Did that on General Conference weekend. A lot of people certainly enjoyed that. Dawson Baker, as far as we know, not in the portal, Jerem.
3 weeks ago, he put a blue heart out on Instagram. Does that mean he's returning? I think so.
He's not in the portal. At least we don't know that he is.
Yeah, and in this era of you can transfer every year, you have to tell us you're coming back. We don't know you're coming back until you say you are.
It's weird how that works.
It's weird.
But for now, Dawson Baker.
Define the relationship.
Critical piece. Mihailo Boskovic said that he's coming back. Brody Kozlowski was the guy that just did it yesterday. And then Hadim Mboup, a guy that we were excited about, but redshirted.
Redshirted, yep. And I'm told the expectation is he's back. So he didn't jump in the portal. So we're good.
Those
are the five returners.
That we know, returning players. Then there are the newcomers, led by some dude named A.J. DiBonsa, who just so happens to be, according to ESPN, the number one rated high school prospect in the entire country. He will be joined by Robert Wright III as BYU's new point guard, the transfer from Baylor. And then Xavion Staton, another high school guy making the jump to college basketball. BYU has also signed a notable player, a transfer from Washington, but we can't say his name.
Hasn't signed yet.
Sorry. It's been widely reported that he's going to sign with BYU.
Exactly.
Okay, so there are four newcomers. Then there's the big undecided question mark of Richie Saunders. Yeah. Go pro or stay in Provo?
I expect him to come back. He hasn't announced his decision either way, but officially he didn't jump in the portal, so he's not going elsewhere. So it's either go pro or return to BYU. I would gander he returns, but we still have to hear officially from Richie. So there's 9.5 right there.
How do you feel about those 9.5?
Really good. And so does everybody else, Spence. We've been talking about it this week. Assuming Richie comes back, AJ and Kaba and Robert Wright III and those other pieces around him, people think that's a preseason top 10 team, number 5 or number 6 for a lot of major guys. So that's exciting. So remember this year the NCAA set new roster limits for different teams. It's up to 15 now for men's hoops. Previously, the roster was 13 scholars, and you could have a handful of walk-ons. Walk-ons are essentially going away, but you can still have them. There's some partial scholarships that can come in here. We'll see. I know we didn't mention some of the walk-ons there from BYU previously. Walk-ons just fluctuate so much. We decided just to kind of operate in the scholarship to players.
Sure, Jared McGregor, Townsend Triple, those guys.
Triple jumped in the portal, by the way.
Yeah.
So there are essentially 5 spots and 6 if Richie's not in it, 6, but I include Richie probably in it. So 5 more players could be on the roster, Spence. So that's kind of where we sit, and I feel great about that group, and I'm excited about the future. Like Brody Kozlowski, we didn't see him play a ton. This is a kid that is a knockdown shooter, can move, can rebound really well. I'm excited to see him in his sophomore season, and maybe he gets a medical based on the injured hand and playing 9 games. We'll see. But he's a young guy that should be exciting, too. Obviously, we know Kristen. She's worked here forever. We've known Brody since he was a little dude. We're excited to see him now because he's not a little dude anymore. This dude's a 6'8 sniper.
He feels like there is opportunity there with the departure of Cannon Catchings and some others. But he feels like he can play along that baseline, knock down outside jumpers, and certainly bring a solid defensive effort to what Kevin Young's core wants to do.
Is he a starter next year? Probably not. Maybe midseason he jumps into that. But you need good pieces around him. Like, what was one of the strengths of BYU last year? It was its super bench. They would come in, they wouldn't skip a beat. Sometimes they'd be better than the starters. So I'm excited about that roster. Obviously, a lot of star power there in the starting lineup.
All right. 9.5 players, as you said. If it's Richie and it's a full 10, amazing. Yes, look, the country in large part thinks BYU is a top 6 team.
Absolutely.
Not just top 10.
So what does BYU still need, in your opinion?
I think they need some post-depth. As much as I love
Kaba Keita
and Mihailo, who is a tough matchup, and he was inserted in some critical junctures and made some big plays.
They played him at the 5 quite a bit. I wonder if he'd play the 4 if they brought in another 5, because you have Staton and Keita.
Sure. Xavion, by nature of him coming from high school and still being a little undersized, they want to bulk him up, which in the Big 12 you need.
Yeah, he's not short. He's just they want him to be
stronger.
Stronger,
so that's a project, but it's okay. It's going to take a little while, and that's totally okay.
I'm giving him a year and a half.
100%.
Absolutely.
Be patient with him. Mm-hmm. A 7-footer
shot
and rim protector is always a huge commodity, but it's going to take time for him to develop the physicality necessary to compete night in and night out in the Big 12.
Yeah.
So I feel like BYU needs a guy who has already developed that physicality. And there are multiple options in the portal right now. So some post-depth is where I would start. And then I would love to see another ball handler in the lineup.
Yeah, you need another point guard for
Who's
sure.
Who's going to spell Robert Wright III? I know Dawson Baker
right now
at
it'd
times.
Be Dawson Baker, but you need another point guard.
Came in and handled that role, but I'd like to see Dawson play primarily off the ball. I think that's where he is his best. He's proven that's where he is his best. So
it's fun to see Robert Wright the third highlights now. This is great. I feel you. Another point guard or two. You definitely need a 3-and-D guy, another 3-and-D guy, like a Mewitt and Mag replacement. I know the Washington guy that who's
yeah, we can't yes.
say, he's going to be part of that. You need multiple. Also, you need another shooter, and then you need a low-post scorer. Like, it was nice at times to just throw it into Foos and get a bucket.
Guaranteed bucket.
Is there a guy out there that could be the starting four-man in that situation, or someone who's comfortable coming off the bench and being that guy? The only bad thing about having like an incredible potential starting lineup is certain guys will come in and go, well, am I going to start here? And obviously you want people to earn things and whatnot, but you also want a roster where people feel like they're going to get some playing time potentially. And if they don't because they look at really good starting lineup, that can be tricky.
Are 15 scholarships the best option in that regard then? Because if you have 15 scholarship players, those guys are all like, well, I deserve to play. I deserve to play. You want them to be competitive that way, or is it better to have 13 scholarship guys and then have a few walk-ons?
And have a couple walk-ons. It's a good question because, let's be honest, typical rotations are 8 or 9. They're not 10 or 11 like BYU ran last year. Like, that's
I'd love to have another 10 or 11-man rotation.
And it was amazing because if someone's injured or someone's off a little bit, that's good. But it's not typical. Like, what BYU had last year was exceptional. So
what was special about last year's change of pace with that bench depth was – when BYU could throw in Dallin Hall and Foos Traore, the defense had to change its entire dynamic to handle a totally what felt like different BYU team.
Yes, and it'll be interesting this year because you'll see different sets where you're going to see more ISO with A.J. DeMonsa than you've ever seen in your life. I haven't talked to the staff about this. He's just too good one-on-one. And then Robert Wright III can create one-on-one. We haven't had too many guys off the dribble that could literally create their own shot. We've kind of given them the benefit of the doubt. Like, Dawson Baker can go one-on-one. He's, like, the best one at it on the squad until A.J. shows up. Because A.J.'s literally going to do that and make $300 million, if not $500 million, in the NBA doing that.
Listen, when he's going between the legs of a defender.
Who's also a top five guy, top 10 guy.
And then finishing at the rim to boot.
Ducking under.
Come on. Like,
what are we doing?
Come
this is
on.
Amazing.
Again, I was watching his high school highlights last night just going,
come on.
Serious?
It was like, I thought they should have put a parental guidance on there. I thought it was a little violent. Like, I thought some kids shouldn't be watching people get yammed on that hard. Like, that was pretty awesome. It was great.
In the words of several broadcasters, after big time dunks, he caught a body, caught a few bodies in those highlights.
Hey, call the cops, who witnessed a murder.
All right.
Jeez.
Vibes high for BYU men's basketball as, again, they try and take that next step and win a Big 12 championship. BYU football, so close. Finished tied, four-way tie for first place.
Hey, regular season title, Spence.
Okay.
Did we get a trophy?
Both football and basketball expected to be near the top of the conference.
Yeah.
But which of those squads is more likely to win a Big 12 championship next season? Is it BYU football in what looks like a wide-open Big 12 race again?
Yep.
Or is it BYU men's basketball?
Hear me out. Football is the experience, right, of getting close. So a couple things. One, will the ball bounce BYU's way again? Fourth and hold, field goal versus Utah, incredible. Last second drive versus Oklahoma State. Those were amazing wins, right? Number two, 29 takeaways. That's a lot to replicate. Third in the country, 22 picks, tied for first. Can BYU do it again? Woo, that was a good number. Like, if you approximate that number, that's pretty stinking good. Three, will the same formula work? Every year's different. Great defense, good offense, elite special teams. It's a little, you lose a couple guys. I feel like BYU feels like they could do that again. It feels wide open, as you mentioned. Arizona State, not the same without Scadaboo, in my opinion. Iowa State lost both 1,000-yard receivers. Colorado loses Sanders and Hunter. What are they? BYU, among those four teams, has the most coming back.
Sure. There will be some emerging teams, too.
For sure, but like in the preseason poll, is BYU going to be in the top three? Then you look at men's hoops, the probable number one pick in the NBA draft in a year. Top five portal guy in Wright III. One of the top 50 players in the nation in Richie Saunders, potentially coming back. One of the most athletic bigs in Kata, who's top 15 in both offensive and defensive rebound percentage. Yet, there's Houston in the league, who went to the national title game. Like, unlike football, you have a proven commodity who's expected to be Final Four-ish good every year in Houston. So men's hoops feels like they have more overall kind of talent amidst their Big 12 peers.
It's a tougher course, though.
it is a tougher course. And football right now seems wide open. Later we'll be like, oh, so-and-so was better than we thought. So, and maybe BYU is that team. Right now, and I would initially submit what H.A. DeBonta said, 2 weeks ago in response to a tweet that we put out? Why not both? But we're going to pick one because it's a talk show, and I will pick football. I think they got a taste of the glory, as Nacho Libre said, and they feel like they can similarly replicate that. Yet, I think it's going to have to be a little different. I don't think it can be the same formula. Every year's different. Every team's different. But I think this BYU team is motivated in a way that could help yield that. If you play that season 100 times last year, I think they go 8-4 quite a bit. But they got that in the regular season. But they got the high side of that because the ball bounced their way. They made plays.
Sure.
And they had a ton of experience. So I credit BYU football for doing that.
A couple of times the ball didn't bounce their way. The
right.
Kansas game.
You can't get them all, though,
right?
You just don't get them all.
So there was a little bit of regression to the mean with how the Kansas game played out and some of the things that happened in the Arizona State game. But.
Yeah, I thought BYU played better than I thought their record was better than sort of the roster. Does that make sense? That's a credit to BYU as a team for maximizing their potential.
I'm with you. I'm going with BYU football because of the wide open state of the conference. There's no clear favorite in Big 12 football right now, which makes it highly entertaining, but it's going to be the same conversation as it was last year, which is, okay, whoever the Big 12 champ is the Big 12 a one-bid league for the college football playoff? It kind of feels like we're pacing
right
for
now,
that
I
again.
Right now, I would argue, yes.
Yeah.
But let's play it out, of course.
So, BYU, could they go 7-2 again and be in the hunt to get in that Big 12 title game? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Now, consider what Houston did last year, and I know they lost some key pieces from a team that was so close to winning the national championship. They'll reload. They'll be so tough again. But if you're going to win the Big 12 Conference in basketball, at worst, you can be maybe 15-3. Okay? That's probably what it's going to take to win the Big 12 in men's basketball. 15-3. Do we expect or think that BYU can go 15-3 in the Big 12? To me, that feels like a big ask.
I do.
Oh, man. 15-3.
I would also submit this. I don't care.
That's even to be in the conversation.
Yes. I don't care about men's basketball winning the Big 12 at all. Like, yes, it'd be great. Don't get me wrong. I care about Sweet 16 plus more. Like, it just, the season won't be defined by what BYU does in the Big 12. If they win it, let's say BYU wins the regular season but not the tourney. Cool.
They win the regular season in the Big 12, they're probably a one seed in the NCAA.
The one or two seed. That'd be amazing. Because as it pertains to seed in the tourney and getting you to the Sweet 16 plus, yes, that's what I like. I don't really care about, like, in football, if BYU gets to the college football playoff, do you care if they won the Big 12? It feels like those two are tied, like you probably need to win the Big 12
to go. That's my point.
But what if they're an at-large? Then we don't really care whether they won the Big 12. It's about getting to the playoff.
It feels like there's more opportunity for a slip-up here and there in football because I think the conference is going to have so much parity on the football side compared to basketball where there will be a few heavy hitters at the top that are going to be the real competitors for conference title, that category.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter to me.
No, I'm not.
Like,
we're not discussing.
Cool. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, we're not discussing whether it matters. We're just discussing which is more likely to happen.
Yes,
right?
Which is more likely? Probably football. But guess what? Both are possible. And if neither win the Big 12, but they're right there and they're in the hunt for the college football playoff and they're hopefully tasting the Sweet 16 plus again, now we're talking. Like, what's the chance BYU does what they did last year again? Probably low. It's hard to do.
11-2.
We're feeling like it is possible. Like, it is actually possible for both these teams to recreate 11-2 in Sweet 16 plus.
The reality is both of these teams are going to show up probably looking at football. I think they'll be somewhere around 16 in the preseason poll, maybe as low as 18. But both teams are going to be in the preseason top 18.
Top four in the Big 12, I would say.
Yes. Both teams should be picked to finish somewhere in the
both
top four.
Both preseason top 25, top 20.
This is the reality. Now can
life's
BYU hit those expectations or maybe do one better and actually win a Big 12 championship in one of these major sports?
And that's the next step. Handle success well. Not one-off, not a, hey, we did it. Oh, we took a step back. But let's do it next year. Like, don't want to see that. Want to see BYU. Like, 8-4 would be disappointing for football. It would.
how quickly things have changed.
What? You were turning a lot of those dudes. Let's go.
Our question of the day, which team is more likely to win a Big 12 championship next season? We want you to answer it. You've heard our opinions. Jeremy and I both think it's football, more parity, more opportunity there, more wide open.
Why not both?
Is it BYU football or men's basketball, in your opinion? Ben_Peterson4 on Instagram answers football. The chip on the shoulder, going to carry BYU there and to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, if BYU returned three dudes in men's basketball more, we might say men's basketball, like we're saying with football.
At Eric Aston 12 on X says, basketball is markedly stronger in the Big 12 than football is, meaning like the sport in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
For that reason, I'm going with football. Easier course. His point is it's easier course in football compared to basketball to win a title.
Both third best leagues in those sports, though. Yeah.
Like winning a Big 12 championship in men's basketball is like winning the Masters in golf. Whereas winning a Big 12 football championship is kind of like winning the Houston Valero Open. It's still tough to do on the PGA Tour. It's not as prestigious, not as difficult.
Poor Valero Open. They were going
That's
to be a sponsor.
That's a great tournament.
But
it's a great tournament.
Now, BYU Sports Nation will be live from Sandtown Park in St. George coming up Saturday night, 6 local time, 8 Eastern, for an hour on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, Hans Olsen of KSL Sports Zone and the BYU football radio analyst previews the Cougars in the NFL draft this weekend. Does he think multiple picks are going to happen? This is BYUS.
Houston Valeros.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Two big names entered into the transfer portal. Welcome to college football and college sports free agency.
5 seasons at BYU taught me what I needed to know to play football at the next level.
You know how we do it, live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, that is Jerem Jordan, and in a moment you are about to see BYU football radio analyst and one of our favorite guys, former BYU football standout, Hans Olsen, is back on the show and just in time to talk NFL draft and more. Hans, how are you this fine morning?
I'm always as good as you guys are. So as long as you're good, I'm good, man. As long as my boys are happy, I'm happy. But life's good, man. Finally getting some sunshine. We got some spring ball under our belts. All kinds of drama to talk about in the world of sports. It's nonstop. But love being on with you guys.
There's no more off season, especially for those of us that have a daily show. We love it. We're here for it. And the next topic just so happens to be the NFL draft. But I do want to start with some recent portaling guys for BYU. Hans, from your perspective, and you watched these guys closely last year, Keelan Marion and Harrison Taggart, they're both officially in the portal, seeking other programs and other opportunities. What do you make of those two departures, even though they're not official, but those two inevitable, we feel, departures from BYU football?
Well, first of all, it's heartbreaking, and I'm going to miss him because I really love Keelan Marion, and I think he's a spark plug, and I think he does so many great things. Harrison Taggart, I think he was serviceable, but I don't think that he's as good as some people may have thought he was. I think that there's probably as good of options, if not better options, in the room, and I know people are going to look at his tackles and his numbers, and they're pretty gaudy, and they look good. But a lot of those tackles are made 5-6 yards deep. He doesn't pound the block as much as he needs to pound the block. He doesn't attack as much as he needs to attack. And I think that there's some linebacking options that are as good and, like I said, if not better. Siali Asera is one guy that you got to really watch. But when you've got Isaiah Glasker and Jack Kelly, you really don't need a world beater at that middle linebacker position. You need a guy that can fill gaps and a guy that's going to play his butt off. And I think that they, between Ace Kafusi and Siale and a couple of other guys, I think that you've got that in spades. And by the way, that's not an attack on Harrison Taggart because I do like his game. It was, like I said, it was serviceable, but it could be played better. And as far as the receivers go, I think that there's already a logjam. I think that BYU's got so much talent with JoJo Phillips returning, some young talent. Chase Roberts will be back from his injury, his situation through spring, and he'll be ready to go. And I think your receivers are going to be held down. It's just the return game. It was so good, guys, last year. That return game was electric and impactful. So hopefully they can find something to take the place of Keelan Marion's return game.
Do you think you put Parker Kingston as the kick returner? Is that the natural next guy?
Yeah, I think Parker could do a great job. I would like to take a look at guys like, just to take a look at them, guys like Tay Nakua. I'd like to take a look at one of the twins.
Dom and Marcus.
The McKenzie twins. I want to take a look at Dom, potentially, as a returner, because I think Dom might take the next step as a great receiver. So excited to see those guys. They're pretty electric. But I think that there's going to be some return talent there. And, you know, you got to give it to Popinga. Those special teams were excellent last year, well orchestrated, perfectly timed. You know, a lot of times I can spot it and call it out, and I couldn't hardly spot it and call it out. He hit those big special teams moments at awesome times and caught teams flat-footed.
Hans Olsen is with us on BYU Sports Nation. As I mentioned, the NFL draft starts tomorrow. Several reputable mock drafts have Tyler Batty, Caleb Etienne, both going later rounds. What do you think the prospects are of BYU having multiple draft picks led by Tyler Batty and Caleb Etienne in the 2025 NFL draft?
But I think Tyler Batty is definitely a draftable prospect with his 4.7 40 and his height and his weight. And I also think that he's got some duality. I think that he could be moldable. I could use him at a couple of different positions. If I don't feel like I'm getting enough production out of him at the edge, I can use him at D tackle. I can put weight on him. He's just a versatile athlete. So I've got a lot of options with Tyler Batty. So I think he's probably a fourth, more likely a fifth round draft pick. Caleb Etienne would be my next draftable athlete. He's made some noise and he's made some inroads. So watch for Caleb Etienne. I think that Jacob Robinson is a spectacular talent, potentially draftable, you know. But guys, it's so hard, you know. People forget how few are drafted and how tough it is. In Kalani Sitake's tenure since he was hired in 2016, he's had 14 draft picks. It's just hard to be drafted. And, you know, we look at this talent, we're like, man, you got Braden Keim, who, if he wasn't injured, maybe he could have done something great. Blake Mangelson is an amazing athlete, and he did so much across that defensive line. And John Nelson is great. Connor Pay, who was injured, but Connor's back and he's going to be healthy and ready for camp. And you look at these guys, you're like, man, those are all draftable prospects, but it's just so hard to get drafted. So I think Tyler Batty, he's a sure thing. Caleb Etienne, maybe. Outside of that, you're probably looking at some free agency, unless guys take flyers on some individuals.
And we'll see the impact of these players, this roster from this 11-2 team the next couple of years. But what does it say about BYU that they can go 11-2 and they don't have a day one or day two guy?
That the coaching staff is good and that they maximize talent and that they've got, they had a really good quarterback that was able to manage some really good offense. Yeah, there's definitely some things to read from that. But I think that this talent still, most of it's going to find camps. Like Darius Lassiter will find camp. Blake Mangelson will find a camp. John Nelson definitely find a camp. Connor, I know, is going to find a camp. So it's like, you know, we put a lot of weight into these seven rounds. We put a lot of weight into, it's 257 picks that go down in the NFL draft. So we put a lot of weight in that. We're like, oh, you got to be one of the 257. Well, I wasn't one of the 257. Chris Oak wasn't one of the 257. We made it. Chris made it for 11 years. I made it for 3 years. You don't have to be drafted to make it. And this talent put together that amazing season, like you're just mentioning, And a lot of them are going to find a home on a roster, just probably not in the draft.
Hans Olsen, BYU football radio analyst, is on BYU Sports Nation, also a host for KSL Sports Zone. Hans, when you start to consider the players on BYU's team for the 2025 season and what they could do in the 2026 NFL draft, who is the most draftable BYU player in the 2026 rundown?
Well, I'm hoping that Chase Roberts has the season that I'm expecting to have. And I think Chase will be that guy. Outside of that, it's going to be probably Keanu Tanavasa, the defensive tackle that BYU just acquired from the University of Utah. Keanu is a very special talent, and he's had a lot of NFL attention. He's just got to play more than six games in a season, and he's got to show durability. He's got one of the best first steps you'll find of a D-tackle in the country. Not in the Big 12, but in the country. He is a unique, special talent. And when we're sitting here talking about Tyler Batty, you know, we got to go all the way back to 2016, the last time a defensive end was drafted out of BYU, and Bronson Kafusi. And we go back to 2021, the last time a defensive lineman was drafted was Kyrus Tonga. Kalani Sitake's had two defensive linemen drafted, essentially. I mean, you really can't count Bronson, but Bronson was drafted the year that Kalani started in. And you've had two defensive line drafted. That needs to improve. Kalani knows it, and I know that this front is working on it. And guys like Chad Kawahaha are making a big difference. Along with Sione Pua and along with Popinga and all those guys working together, they're making a big difference. And I think that Keanu is that guy that I would circle. I think that Chase Roberts could be a very draftable wide receiver, especially and if he continues to make some of these talented catches. And guys, there's something that plays into this. You know, you got to see guys like Kyle Van Noy and Fred Warner and Sione Takitaki and Tyler Algier and Puka Nacua and Kyrus Tonga. You got to see these guys having success. And when you got a guy like Puka Nacua that was taken in the fifth round, that is all the talk and all the hype for the NFL. Well, all of a sudden you got a spotlight on Fessi Sitake's wide receivers. Those things make a big difference. So if Puka is lightning rod and Chase goes out and he's having an incredible season, it brings attention to him and it makes him a more interesting draftable prospect.
Hans, our question of the day is, which team is more likely to win a Big 12 championship next season, football or men's basketball? We've weighed in. What do you think?
I think it'll be football. And I think that a lot of that has to do with the challenge, the teams that they're going to be playing against. I've already got it circled, fellas. Big 12 championship
Let's
game.
Let's go.
Arizona State, BYU.
Wow.
I'm already rematch. Saving the date. Yeah, I'm already saving the date. I am fully expecting that to be the game and the matchup. And it's what I want. I'm bummed that BYU doesn't get to see Arizona State in the regular season. It just turns my stomach. I think that the Western region should play every team every year.
Agreed.
Yeah, and it drives me nuts. It should be Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, and Arizona. And it should be every single year. And I'm bummed that we won't get a chance to see Arizona State until that Big 12 championship game.
Hans, after BYU's spring football and having interviewed the players and talked with a lot of the staff, obviously you're confident in BYU's ability to replicate to a large degree what they did last season and even take it another step and get to a Big 12 title game. I guess my question for you is, why are you so confident that this BYU team can take the next step and essentially show the nation it wasn't just a flash in the pan?
Well, they've got an incredible running back duo with Sione Moa and LJ Martin. They've got a dynamic receiving core with guys like JoJo Phillips and Chase Roberts. They've got a returning quarterback that has a chip on his shoulder and a lot more to prove. And all I want to see him do, guys, is just get better in the two-minute offense or get better in high-tempo offense so Aaron Roderick can run some of that mismatched and mix-and-match tempo offense that he loves to run. And Retzlaff could be incredible if he's not throwing picks on some of those fades. So I think he's got room to improve, but I think he knows how to do that, how to improve. I think that BYU has found their match with their defensive line. I think that they have brought in some really good portal talent. I feel really good about their safety position, and I feel like it's a really solid team. The only thing that they've got to find is their offensive tackles. I think Jada can hold down one side, but they got to find the other bookend. And guys like Waylon Lapuaoa will hold down the interior. Sonny Maccasini and some of these guys, they're fantastic. So I just feel confident about the returning trench, and I feel good about some of your skill players. I feel really good about the quarterback that they've got returning, and it's all full of experience, and they know what they need to improve, and they've got the coaching staff to do it, and they've infused the money to do it. And you know what, guys, when you spend money on a roster, you place big expectations on a roster. So these guys have expectations that they've got to fulfill.
Hans Olsen bringing it on BYU Sports Nation. I guess with no offseason really for the Daily Show, Hans, when in the world do you take a vacation, brother?
Well, I feel bad, man. I wish that I was on that cruise with you guys, seeing all the pictures. And you talk about like that wasn't a vacation. You guys were pumping out videos every day. I mean, Spence, I saw you guys. It felt like, what were you doing here? 5-6 interviews every day?
Something like that.
we're here to work, Hans. You know the drill.
It's a work trip.
I heard McMahon kept you busy.
He might have been the only one to keep some people busy on the ship that others didn't partake in.
There were a few times that Gifford Nielsen had to tell Jim to read the room. Read the room, buddy. Read the room.
Well, I could tell you, if I end up on one of these cruises, I'll probably be in Jim McMahon's cabin. It'd be me and Jimmy Mac.
Oh,
probably tipping one side of the boat, man.
I love it. I love it. Let's get you on that panel with Jim McMahon. Hey, Hans, great to talk to you, man. We appreciate the time, brother.
Yeah, you guys are amazing. Thank you.
See you, Hans. Hey, if you miss any episodes of the program, our shows, Deep Blues, interviews, they're on BYUSN.com, the free BYU TV app as well.
Still on the way, where ESPN's Mel Kiper has BYU football players ranked on his latest NFL draft big board, and three BYU athletes earned some distinct big awards. We'll tell you who and what they did in headlines. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out your headlines.
We're one day away from the start of the NFL draft. ESPN's Mel Kiper released his final position rankings on his big board ahead of the draft. BYU's Tyler Batty ranks 16th best defensive end. Caleb Etienne, 26th best offensive tackle. Jacob Robinson, the 54th best cornerback. First round begins tomorrow night.
BYU defensive linemen Simone Davis and Yosefa Latuli both entered their names in the transfer portal yesterday. Davis, a freshman defensive end who was an early enrollee and participated in spring practices. Latuli, a redshirt freshman defensive tackle who didn't appear in any games as a freshman last season. We wish the best to both of them.
Sophomore-to-be Brody Kozlowski announces he will return next season. He appeared in 9 games as a freshman before suffering a season-ending hand injury. Transfer portal officially closed yesterday in college basketball.
Senior outside men's volleyball players Luke Benson and Mix Romanus of BYU men's volleyball named all MPSF yesterday. Benson named to the first team after leading BYU with 149 kills, fourth in the MPSF at 3.24 kills per set. Romanus named to the second team. He totaled 115 kills and averaged 3.19 kills per set. BYU plays the winner of Stanford and Menlo in the MPSF tournament tomorrow. Good luck.
Softball's Kayla Kamoku was named Big 12 Player of the Week after helping BYU to a 4-0 record, hit 2 homers, drove in 9, batted 600. Word on the street is that's really good. Kamoku and the Cougars on the road for a 3-game series for the first meetings ever at Baylor beginning tomorrow.
She's turned a major corner. She was in the 100s for the first half of the season.
Check that. First time in Waco. They had a great series against Baylor last year.
Correct. Yes, first trip to Waco. BYU men's golf finished the first two rounds of the Big 12 Championships yesterday in seventh place. Zach Jones leading the way for the Cougars. Shot two over par individually, good for sixth place. Cougars teed off in round three earlier this morning.
And 2 minutes ago, Jimmer Fredette announced on Twitter that he has officially retired from playing basketball. Congrats to a tremendous career from Jimmer.
We love Jimmer.
Bright future ahead for him.
What's next for him? Yep. We'll find out soon after the break. BYU running back Pokai Haunga gives us insight into the running backs room and how they improved so much over the season and maybe why he might try a backflip in a game this season.
Oh.
There's no penalty associated with that. There should be no penalty for a backflip.
If you can do it, yeah.
Come on. This is BYU Sports Nation.
It's Pokai sweeping to the right, to the 10, to the 5, to the 4, 3. Ripped back there, but it's first and goal for BYU. Hands off LJ. LJ, touchdown! Complete to the 40, the 45 against Haunga. Oh, he stays on his feet. LJ Martin's got a first down.
Here's to more first downs. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live from Studio B. I know we've been back from cruising with the Cougs for 5 days, but we gathered so much material and so much good material. We feel like you deserve to see it. And the next portion of that is our interview with running back Pokai Haunga on the improvement of the running back's room. And was this about a backflip after a touchdown?
Pokai, welcome to Ensenada, Mexico. Hopefully I said that right, Jeremy.
I think so. You're looking at me like I'm some expert.
You're the Mexican colonies guy, right?
Yeah, well, my family, yes.
Okay, Jeremy Jordan, 1/16th Mexican. Got to clear that with him.
It's actually 1/2.
Okay. Again, Pokai.
This is about Pokai.
This is the running back segment portion of the show, if you will. Pokai, we need to start with the whole yoga conversation because we just heard from Sione Moa that he loves yoga. But,
not sure about the validity of said claim.
But apparently you're the yoga guy? Can you set the record straight?
I'm the only one that does yoga out of all the football players on this cruise. I've been asking Nune if he wanted to do yoga. Never wanted to come. Only wants to play pickleball and basketball. So
and apparently eat at the buffet.
Oh, yeah, and eat at the buffet. But we do get our workouts in.
Gotta make sure Kalani hears that.
This is a cool thing because so many fans from Cougar Nation are here, over 3,500. What's it been like to interact with the fans and see everybody here?
For me personally, I just enjoy getting to meet new people every day, like making new friends and just seeing a lot of smiles and new faces. I think that's one of the greatest things is being able to just walk and someone smiles and waves at you. So having a cruise full of people that I can do that to, put a smile on their face, I think it's amazing. Mm.
And a lot of these people invest in some way or another, emotionally, financially, whatever, coming to the games. They care. Like, this cruise ship cares how you guys do. So I feel like that motivates you guys to work even harder, even though you guys are already motivated.
Yeah, I agree on that. I think every day, like, we start off with small things, like, for ourselves, family and stuff. But then in the end, I remember when I was coming on my official visit here, they showed us a video of how Cougar Nation was not just, like, in the nation, but, like, worldwide. I think that's what, like, brought playing for BYU, like, made it at a different level for me. So
opening night, it's called the Royal Theater. That is not a joke.
Not just for this cruise.
The Royal Theater on this boat. So walk in.
It is Royal Caribbean.
It is, and that it
perfect.
Is. Okay.
Perfect.
And, I mean, there are thousands of BYU fans singing the fight song, chanting Go Cougars. What's that like for you to walk on the stage and be greeted that way?
I think it's amazing. I mean, like, just the love and support that Cougar Nation gives to us. I grew up in Kuku in Hawaii, and like if you know about their high school football, it's like a whole community, and like the whole community's together, and I kind of feel the same way with BYU.
You did a backflip on the stage, did you not?
Yeah, that was impressive.
Coach just wanted us to get out there. He's like, man, make sure you guys put on a show, like we gotta get the crowd pumping and stuff. It's like while we all warmed up, Sione and Siale kept asking for ideas on like what they want to do, because like the first show I just popped off and hit a backflip. So the second show they're like, oh Pokai, like what dance moves do you got that I could copy from you and stuff. So like, I was generating all the ideas, then we just like the warm up for Kalani. So
and Kalani came out and broke it down, especially in that second session. It was like a full minute.
Oh yeah. Nah, we were just trying to get the crowd like energetic so that when coach comes down he can just drop the ball on them. So
Is a backflip a 15-yard penalty in a game, or is that going to happen at some point where you could do that?
I hope that it's not going to be a 15-yard penalty. But with Will Farron as the kicker, I think I could get away with it sometimes. So, yeah.
Okay. Fair assessment.
Okay, let's talk more football. Again, we asked Sione his opinions on where the running backs have progressed the most. How do you see it? Where did you take the big step forward in spring football?
I think the running backs in general, just every day Coach Harvey tells us to set the tone and stuff. And when that happens, like, our offense, everyone gets pumped. I think it raises, like, not just the offensive side, but defensive side too. When, like, the higher you compete, the higher level you compete at, the higher you'll grow and stuff. So, yeah.
Remind me, did they have you play more than four regular season games this year, or did you keep the redshirt?
I played four regular seasons, and then I played in the Alamo Bowl. So,
so you got the redshirt?
Yeah, I got the redshirt season. So,
please give me four more years, man. When we saw you, I loved how quick you were, how you could dance in the hole, and how you got around. What are you looking forward to about your redshirt freshman year now?
Just looking forward to being able to at least play every game. You know, last year I felt like there wasn't, like, I wanted to do more for the team on the field rather than just off. But this year I'm looking forward to hopefully being more of a help to my teammates. So
they liked you, so they wanted to redshirt you. But it's tough for you because you want to play in every game. We're going to see him in every game.
Yes. You and I were talking about leadership and the veteran experience on this BYU football team during our spring football special. What's that like for you to have leaders like Jake Retzlaff, and even in the running backs room, a guy like L.J. Martin, who's been
L.J.'s the old guy now?
Yeah, he's the old man,
yeah,
right? Now,
yeah, he's the old man now.
L.J.'s the old guy. And then the receivers are all very tenured. Like, what's it like to have that type of leadership on the offensive side of the ball?
I just like the way that they keep everyone accountable and how, like, they're not just our leaders, but they're like our older brothers. Like, they can make a joke at us. We can throw it right back at them, and, like, we won't be scared. I think that, like, really brings us closer together and, like, let us know that when they tell us, like, or correct us to do anything, it's all, like, just tough love. Like, you take it as they love you and they want you to get better every day. So,
what are you looking forward to proving most this season? Because a lot of the team has said to us, hey, we feel like we can do it again or better what we did last year.
As a team, I believe that we're proving to just that we all know that we should have been playoff contenders last season. I'm sure everyone can agree with that. And I think this season we're going to prove that we can do that and a lot more. So,
you're a physical runner, just like Sione is. So what's the mindset when you see Big 12 linebackers across the way?
That's actually deceiving. I do prefer not to get hit.
Oh!
I'm more of a try to run around them if I can. But it's more of like there's nowhere else to go. So why not just throw your head at it? Me and Ciala were headbutting like most of spring ball. Just most of the clips, you just see me headbutting Ciala.
How about on the trip? Are you butting heads still?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You'll work through it.
Yeah, we'll work through it, though.
Pokai, great to have you with us. We wish you the best of luck running around everybody. And if by necessity, you need to run through somebody, running through people as well.
Yeah, thank you.
I love me a good left-handed handshake, like the Boy Scout handshake. That was awesome. If you missed any of our interviews from the cruise, talk to Jim McMahon, Jim Fredette, Kleinstocky, others. It was fun. They're on demand on the BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel.
Who do you think is more likely to win a Big 12 championship next season, BYU football or BYU men's basketball? More responses to our question of the day, including the elite response of the day. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation with our question of the day. Which team is more likely to win a Big 12 championship next season? Is it BYU football or is it BYU men's basketball? Both expected to be in the top four of the preseason media polls in conference.
I would think so.
Both top 16 teams, we think, in the AP preseason polls. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes in from at Royal Blue NIL on X, who quotes AJ DeBonta and says, why not both?
Exactly.
I love that that's become a thing now.
Yeah, why not both? Why not?
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Jimmer Fredette announces his official retirement from playing. He's 36 years old now. He grew up in Glens Falls, New York, BYU, NBA, five or six different teams, G League, Euro League with Panathinaikos, China, I mean, 3x3 Olympian.
Offered his official
congrats
words.
To Jimmer.
Said it's time to say goodbye to basketball. I've loved every second of my career through the good and the bad. Thank you all for the support throughout the years. Basketball has made me who I am today. Excited for what is next in my life with my family.
He'll be on the show next week to chat about it.
What's next?
Sorry to Dennis, ran out of time.
For Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to Whitney Fredette. Go Cheerleaders and go Cougs.
2012 national champs.